Good morning, everyone. It is an honor and a privilege to be serving you here today. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships, and we're going to be looking at the principles of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And before we go into it, I just want to mention that, listen, guys, you are never too old to learn. Amen? You're never too old to learn. There's always a lesson to learn. And today, we are going to learn. Amen? So how many of you are ready to learn? Are your hearts open to learn what God has in store for us this morning? Praise God. So we're going to go right into it. We're going to look at the, you should have notes. Everybody have notes? Okay, now I want you to look at your notes real quick just for a moment, and I want you to notice that I didn't put in anything there for you to fill in, and there's a reason I did this. I'm intentional with that. The reason I did that is because even though I want you to pay close attention to what God has to say this morning, but I want you to take that sheet of paper with you, and I want that to create an opportunity to touch someone else with the Word of God. You have the tools, always will have the tools, because God has already honored us with that. Amen? So use that and let it be a blessing to someone else. Amen? So let's look at the Word of God where it says Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days is for us to recognize how few these days are. And it also helps us to spend them as we should, more wisely. Amen? We waste a lot of days. And the Lord is telling you today, don't waste another day. Amen? See, someone shared with me that life is like a dollar bill, right? You take it and you spend it, and you could only spend it once. Can you spend a dollar more than once? When you spend it, it's gone, right? But there's only really two ways that you could spend a dollar bill. You could waste it, or you could invest it. The same goes with life. And the same goes with relationships. You can waste life. You can waste a day, a week, a month of pure life. Just like you can waste relationships. You can waste days, hours, weeks, months, even years of relationships. Not only relationship that you have with your loved ones and the people that are surrounding you, but also your relationship with God. Now, whether you're young or old, or whether you're 60, or whether you're 6, or whether you're healthy, or whether you're poor or rich, you have an opportunity. Now, listen to this, guys. You have an opportunity to live life to the fullest. You have an opportunity to live the best of your life. Now, how many of you would like to live the best of your life? Amen? We have that. So suppose for a moment that you're starting life all over again. Now, this is pretty good because I'm sure some of you were probably thinking, you know, wow, yeah, that'd be kind of good. Start all over again. Imagine you could start your life all over again. And now you're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, right? You're old enough to make decisions, to make relational decisions, to make financial decisions. You are old enough to live life. But there's a question, a big question hanging over your head. And that question is, how can I live the best of my life? So now, and you're at that point, and now you ask Jesus. Now you're going to Jesus, and you're asking Jesus, how can I make the rest of my life the best of my life? What do you think he would say? See, I don't think we need to wonder about it. I don't think that we need to really think about it, because I think we already know what he would say. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, I think I could summarize what Jesus is saying here in just three words. First things first. I'm going to say it again. First things first. We need to set some priorities up in here, right? First things first. Now, I know that that sounds simple, right? But I want to tell you that if you begin today, listen to this. If you begin today consciously, continuously, and constantly, first things first, it would absolutely transform your life. First things first. The formula for how to do just that is found in the tremendous statement from the lips of our Savior, Jesus Christ. First things first. So how do we get there? How do we get there? How do we walk that journey? So I'm going to walk you through some of this, okay? We're going to talk about three points here. And the first point is that we need to set priorities. Now, everything rises and falls on this here, right here, priorities. If your priorities are not in order, then your life is not in order. How many could agree to that? If your priorities are not right, then you won't be right. You don't have to pray about it. Okay? You don't need to discuss it. You don't need to talk about it with anyone else. All you need to do is just do it. You just have to do it. Because Jesus has already told us what our first priority ought to be. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The word seek means to actively pursue or to go after. And it's in the present tense. He's telling you now. This is when you have to do it. You have to do it now. It means continuously. Every day of your life ought to be seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the relationship that you ought to have with God. Every single day. Now, in order to seek the kingdom, you must seek the king. Because you cannot have a kingdom without a king. Am I right in saying that? You cannot have a kingdom without a king. The first priority of your life ought to be focused on the king. In previous teachings and Bible studies that we've had in the past and in previous sermons that I shared, one of the things that I always say and remind myself is that I need to be focused on Jesus. Because if we put Jesus first, everything else will follow the way it should. We are the ones that deviate. But that's another sermon. That's another sermon. But did you know that the Christian life is more than just accepting the Lord? It is actually pursuing and seeking the Lord every single day of your life, for every single part of your life. How many say amen to that? See, the Lord is not just someone that you passively accept. He is someone that you actively seek. Have a daily relationship with him. Meditate in the word. Get down deep in it, you know? I can tell you that there is such a blessing and a divine appointment that falls upon you when you seek the Lord every single day of your life. When you seek him through the word, when you seek him through music, when you seek him through your everyday experiences of life. Just like those images that showed up on the screen there. Every single image displayed the glory of God. And guess what? The glory of God is everywhere. It's for everybody. for all of you to see. But you need to seek him daily. Amen? I can tell you something about your relationship with God at this moment without even knowing you. I can tell you exactly how much of God you have. You. Hold on, wait a minute. You. What? All of you. Every single one of you have all of God. Amen. You have all of God. He doesn't give you a quarter of God or a half a cup of God. He gives you a full cup of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God does not have any favorites, but he has intimates. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 8 says, it says here, come near to God and he will come near to you. And God has promised in his word in Jeremiah 29:13, he said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your what? With all of your what? With all of your heart, that means with all of your being, with every fiber of your body. How awesome is that? That our Lord is seeking intimacy with us. You are losing out on a great opportunity to have an intimate relationship with God if you don't seek him. Amen? But it's not enough just to seek the Lord. Jesus said, listen to what he said, seek first the kingdom of God, right? First things first is putting the Father first. Do you know what faith is? In a nutshell, faith is putting the Father first. Faith is putting the Father first. You put the Father first before every single thing in your life. That's faith. You put the Father first before your relationship with your husband and your wife and with your kids and with your household and your family. You put the Father first in front of your job and your boss and the people that you work with. You put the Father first with the people that you come in contact with every single day of your life. You put the Father first when you go buy that cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and pray for that person that's serving you. That's faith. Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want just a place in your life. He doesn't just want to prominence in your life. He wants preeminence in your life, which means that he wants to be the superior. Jesus is the best. Say it with me. Jesus is the best. Jesus, now listen to this. Jesus is the best, but guess what? Jesus wants your best. You didn't think that was coming, did you? Jesus is the best, but Jesus wants your best. Jesus wants the first moment of every day of your life. Jesus wants the first day of every week. Jesus wants the first part of every part of your life. He wants to be first. First things first. The Lord Jesus Christ is not interested in being a second option in your life. He's not interested in being a convenience in your life. Oh, I search Jesus when it's convenient for me to do. No, he's not interested in that. He's not even interested in running your business or running your no, he's not interested in that. You know what he's interested in? He's interested in being the king of the throne of your heart. I'm going to say that again. He wants to be king on the throne of your heart. Now, look, you guys are completely capable of deciding what type of relationship you want to have with Jesus, what type of relationship you want to have with our living God. But the question is, what path will you take? Will you seek him and put him first? Maybe not. I encourage you. First things first. But not only are we to seek the king, we ought to seek the kingdom. The kingdom of God ought to be our obsession for life. Listen, the word kingdom literally means to reign, okay? The kingdom place is ruled by a king. And to seek the kingdom is to seek the rule or reign of God over your entire life. Not just what's convenient, not just what you think he should have. He wants all of you. Amen? See, because when you truly seek the king and you truly seek the kingdom, you are automatically seeking three things. I'm going to share these three things to you. A, you are seeking the glory of the king. The glory of the king. Every part of your life, every minute and moment of your time, every ounce and pound of your flesh, every muscle and fiber of your body ought to be given for the glory of God. I'm not just saying it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, I'm going to stop right there, whatever you do. We're not just talking about eating or drinking. We're talking about everything you do. Everything you do, all for the glory of God. Say amen to that. Everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. Not for us, not for the glory of others, but for the glory of God. But it also means to seek the guidance of the king. So we do everything for the glory of God, but we must also seek the guidance of the king. Listen, a loyal, and I'm using this word, loyal, a loyal subject always wants to do whatever the king wants him to do. Right? There is no higher calling than to find out what your king wants and you do it. No higher calling. Praise God. Now, every morning of your life should be to do what the king wants you to do. Whatever he wants done, you ought to be responsive. Listen, you have to do what Paul asked Jesus when he was walking in the Damascus Road, when he said, Lord, what will you have me do? Have you asked Jesus that question lately? I could almost guarantee not only myself, but also a bunch of us and people outside this room, I could almost guarantee that you have asked Jesus to do something for you. Right? But did you ask Jesus what he wants you to do? And that's scary too for some of us, because we don't want to be told what to do. Right? We think we got it. Some of us have that attitude, oh, I got this. This is mine, Jesus. I got this. That's the attitude that's robbing you from the blessings of the Lord. Just so you know. Ask Jesus what he wants you to do. But it also means to seek the government of the king. A loyal, again, the word loyal comes up, man. A loyal subject desires to be directed by the king, to be governed by the king. So you must have a desire in your heart to be governed by your king. That's hard for many of us because we tend to lean into our own understanding, right? We tend to lean into our own strengths, right? We tend to lean on the things that we can see. Let's go back to faith. Faith is what? Put the Father first. First things first. Some will say that if your will was that God's will always be done in your life, guess what? Then your will always be done. I'm going to repeat that, son. And I need you to really process that. If your will was that God's will always be done in your life, then your will be done. I heard about this woman, right, that she was really sick in bed. And a neighbor came over, you know, to visit her. And he asked her this question. He asked her the question, you know, you want to live or do you want to die? You know what she said? She said, I want whatever pleases my God. Whatever pleases my God. She had her priorities in place. First things first. Amen? So believe it or not, it would be better to die in the will of God than to live outside the will of God. Your priority should be to have a relationship with Jesus every single day. Now, I'm sure some people may have probably asked this question to many Christians, and I've heard it before. What if you're wrong? What if there is no God? What if there was no Jesus? What if, right? Y'all heard that, right? Here's my answer to that. I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose for trying to be a good person. I have nothing to lose for honoring and glorifying God. I have nothing to lose for having faith in my Lord. I have nothing to lose by receiving the blessings of the Lord. I have nothing to lose to believe in the Holy Spirit in my body, in my soul, in my mind, and in my heart. I have nothing to lose if I believe in God. However, if I don't believe, and it turns out to be actually true, I lose everything. I don't want to take that chance. How many of you want to take that chance? Y'all want to take that chance? I don't want to take that chance. There's a reason why God's divine appointment fell upon man on this earth. Don't ignore it. We need to make sure that we set our priorities, okay? Number two, seek personal purity. Not only are we to seek the kingdom, but we are also to seek his righteousness. This is not only that we are to seek God's control over us, but we are also to be seeking God's character in us. Listen to this. God's character in us. The kingdom of God is not only an inward experience, but it's an outward expression. You see, if God rules over you and his righteousness is between you, his righteousness will always be with you. I'm going to say that again. If God is ruling over you, then his righteousness is always within you, because a man's character is simply the outward expression of whatever it is that's controlling him inside. Faith is always seen by its fruits. Character is always seen by its conduct. Amen? Proverbs 20:12 says, it tells us, it says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. You see, when you seek the kingdom of God, people ought to be seeing the kingdom in us. When we seek the kingdom of God, people ought to see the kingdom in us. Somebody shared this with me, and this is a wonderful phrase. He said, we are never going to make a difference in this world until this world sees a difference in us. Wow. Wow. And there was this gentleman, a German philosopher, who came to the conclusion, this was back in the Nazi time, and he came to the conclusion that God is dead. And you know how he came to that conclusion? He came to that conclusion by looking at Christianity. You know what he said about Christians? He said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you are going to have to look a little more redeemed. The real mark of a Christian is that he or she makes it easier for others to believe in God. That's the real mark of a Christian. That's the testimony that God wants you to express. Now, what does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? Okay, so now we're going to cover this. A, we must desire it. What we really want to do, we'll do, right? What we really want to be, we will be. So if we desire it, we will find it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. We shall be filled. If we seek, we shall be filled. Right now, you ought to desire every single day. You ought to desire to do right. You ought to desire to live right. You ought to desire to feed the hunger, the hungry. You ought to desire to give water to the thirsty. You ought to desire what God desires. That's not hard to do, guys. It really isn't. We must desire it. B, we must derive it. We are to seek his righteousness. God is not interested in your righteousness. He's interested in his righteousness. God is not interested in what you could do for him. He is interested in what he can do through you. It will be a great day when we all learn the difference between self-righteousness and the Savior's righteousness. Well, guess what? This is the great day. The great day is now. It is today. Because if you didn't know it, now you know. Praise God. First things first. Paul, after he was saved, he made this one goal of his life. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he said that he wanted. He said what he wanted. He said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There goes the word again. Faith. Faith means put the Father first. We all need to learn a lesson about righteousness. Righteousness must be imputed before it can be imparted. It needs to be in us in order for us to share. Okay? So let me make it more simple. Before we can live it, God has to give it. I'm going to say it again. Before we can live it, God has to give it. But in order for us to receive what God has to give, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Y'all with me? Praise God. And that's exactly why Jesus came and Jesus died, that we might have righteousness of God. And see, we must depict it. We ought to live like kingdom subjects. What does that mean? That means, very simply, that there's a certain way that we're supposed to be. There's a certain way that we're supposed to behave. There's a certain way that we're supposed to share. There's a certain way that we're supposed to communicate. There's a certain way. You know what it's called, that certain way? That one of them is called love. The way of love. See, our King displayed his love for us so that we can display his love through us. For us to live as subjects, it means that we're submitting ourselves to our King. That we're submitting ourselves daily to our King. That we're living by his rules. Not the rules that we make up. Not the rules that we add to the rules. Like, let me just throw one out there. Thou shalt not fornicate. Oh, but it's okay. I like her. Thou shalt not lie or steal. But it's only 10 cents. Who cares? Right? See, the what I'm getting at is that we need to stop breaking the rules or adding to the rules and doing things the way we want to do it, because we need to allow ourselves to be subjects of our King. But guys, bottom line is that we ought to be kingdom subjects. Bottom line is that we should allow ourselves to be ruled by our King, Jesus Christ. Amen? The next thing is, number three, we want to see promised prosperity. Now the Lord says that if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, right? Now, what are these things he's referring to? What are those things? Now, he was talking about the things that people worried about. So if you start back in verse 19 and work your way up to 33, you will notice that one of the things in verse 19, people worry about finances. How many of y'all worry about finances? Right? Nobody? Oh, yeah, y'all got it like that? Y'all got it like that? We all worry about finances. Okay? Every single one of us, you know? Not just us here, but the church worries about finances. We worry about how we're going to do things in the future. We worry about how we're going to feed our family. We worry about how we're going to put a roof over our heads, how we're going to maintain our vehicles. We worry about corporations are worried about how they're going to keep employees working, right? The finances has always been the number one worry thing, right? And it is what it is. But not only worry about finances, but verse 25, people worried about food. Now, we don't have that struggle as heavily here in the United States as I believe, because there's a lot of things that I don't see. But I know that in other countries, food is a thing. It's a problem. Food is a problem in different places in this world. That's real. That's real. That's real worries of where you're going to get a plate of food, a drink of water, clean water. That's a real struggle, guys. People worry about fitness, meaning health. Man, we all worry about health. I don't want to say how old I am, but I'm old enough to know better. But arthritis is kicking in. All right? And I worried about that because I'm like, you know, I like to move around. I like to do my thing or whatever and stuff like that. But guess what? I'm putting it in the hands of my Lord. Let his will be my will. Praise God. And also in verse 28, people will worry about fashion, what they're going to wear, what the clothes, putting regular clothes on it. This is a real struggle for people here on this earth. A real struggle. But guess what? I don't have to worry about finances. I don't have to worry about food. I don't have to worry about fitness. I don't have to worry about fashion because I have my faith in the Lord. Now, all these things are things that we need. That's why the Lord said in verse 32, he said, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. How many believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Every single living creature on this earth. That's what I believe, right? It's amazing, that video that we just saw. It's amazing to see how God's living creatures are being taken care of. Right? The difference between them and us is that we want to do it our own way. They're doing it God's way. How many of y'all want to do God's way? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all want to do it God's way. Now, the Lord has promised that if you will seek his kingdom and his righteousness, you will have all these things. Now, I didn't say that you would necessarily get everything you want. But that's not what he's saying. I'm convinced that there are four lessons here that our parents in, here today should be teaching our children, and probably something that us adults may need to relearn. First of all, you don't need everything you want. Let's get it. You don't need everything you want. No, you don't need everything you want. I mean, seriously, I wish I had all the money that I spent on things that I didn't need. From the time that I was able to spend money, which was about 6 years old, right? I mean, I'm showing my age. In the 60s, a quarter was a lot. 25 cents? I had 25 cents. I was the man. And I had 50 cents. I had 50 cents. Forget about it. I was not only the man, everybody wanted to hang out with me. 50 Cent went a long way in 1969. Yeah, see, somebody said, oh, well, he that old? With 50 Cent, I was able to buy 25 lemon cookies. How many of y'all remember lemon cookies? Anybody older than me? Remember the penny lemon cookies? We'll get 25 lemon cookies, and with the other 25 cents, I was able to buy 5 juices. And I was able to split that with 4 other friends. You get 5 cookies and a juice. 50 Cent went a long way. I remember when going to the movies cost me 75 cents. Huh? You paid $14 to go see a movie today. And then you paid $20 for a popcorn. But the bottom line, guys, you don't need everything that you want. And the second lesson is that you don't want everything that you need. You don't want everything that you need. I didn't want that whipping. Oh, I didn't. I needed it, though. I realize it now. I was like, Ma, thanks for that whipping, man. That's something that a 6-year-old kid could say, thanks, Ma. Do it again. I needed the whippings that I had in life in order to be the person that I am today. Those whippings, those struggles, those times where I thought that I was walking alone. Because back then, that's what I thought. I thought I was walking alone. Only to come to find out that I was never alone. All those times that I thought that God was far from me, I came to the conclusion later on, that I was the one that was far from God. So sometimes we don't want what we need. And the third lesson is that God doesn't give us everything that we want. And I, for one, am so glad that he doesn't. See, you know, one of the greatest blessings of God is found in the things that he doesn't give us. When we are walking focused continuously on our Lord, he's our Father protecting us in our walk. How many of y'all got kids? Doesn't matter whether it's 6 years old, 35 years old, y'all got kids, right? Remember when you used to walk with them down the street and used to hold their hand? Remember that? And they would be pulling you. And you pull back. You pull back. You pull back because you didn't want them to get hurt. You pull back because you didn't want them to go that path, whatever that path was. And that's what God does with us. God's pulling us back. And you feel that tug. When you feel that spiritual tug, respond to it. Don't run from it. Don't reject it. Because God doesn't want to give it to you. And the last lesson is that God always, always, always gives us what we need. even if you don't think that he does. Because he does. I heard about these two stores. I'm going to go back a little bit. How many of y'all remember Popeye? Right? Some of y'all remember Popeye, right? Popeye, he had, what was his name? Brutus, right? And Brutus and olive oil, right? Olive oil was the, right? So you had Popeye, Brutus, olive oil. And there was this other guy that ate the hamburgers. What was it? I forget his name, right? Anyway, remember, there was one show that I remember. I remember clearly when Popeye and Brutus opened up a hamburger spot right across from each other, right? And they're competing the hamburgers to sell hamburgers. So they're competing, and they're trying to get this one guy, I forget his name, that he just ate the burgers. I'll gladly pay you tomorrow for a burger today. That's what he used to say, right? I can't remember his name anyway. But the point is that there was always competition, right? Always competition. And I heard about this, a story about these two store owners right across from each other, almost selling the same products, right? Always in competition, just trying to get new customers in and return customers, right? So one of the owners of the store, he comes out and he starts saying, he nails this big sign onto the front of his store. And the sign says, if you want it, we have it. If you want it, we have it. So the other store owner comes out. He's looking at the sign. He's standing there looking at it for a couple of minutes. And he goes back into the store. Comes back a little while later, and he nails this big sign to the side of his store, the front rather. Nails this big sign, steps back, and the sign says, if we don't have it, you don't need it. If God is not giving it to you, it's because you don't need it. But you have to have his will in your heart in order to recognize that. Amen. See, what the Lord is trying to teach us here today is that it's our job to serve God and have a relationship with God. And it is his job to supply us. That is the relationship that we must have. Now, most people have this backwards. Most people think that it's our job to supply us, and it is God's job to serve us. Completely backwards. So I want you to know that that's not the way it works. Okay? Starting today, this is what you need to remember. It is your job to serve God. It is your responsibility and priority to seek him daily. You want to make the rest of your life the best of your life? Then start today. Right now. Here at this moment, start with the renewed relationship with Jesus. Allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Put him first. Let every moment of your life be for him, and he will take care of the rest. So if you believe that now in your heart, and you know this to be true, I'm asking you to close your eyes right now. I want you to think about the areas of struggles in your life right now. The areas in your life that you're not allowing for God to move in it. The things that are inside of you right now that's not allowing you to seek the King and his righteousness. If you're looking to make a transformation here today, at this moment, you're looking to change your life right now, in this moment, If you're looking to renew your relationship with Jesus at this moment, then you are in the right place. I'm going to pray for you, Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are such an awesome and extraordinary God. And I am so thankful for all that you have given and done for us. Many of us continually struggle in life without emotions, with things that are out of control, people that are out of control, situations that we no longer seem to balance out, but we fail to put our trust in you. We fail to put you first. And so we ask for forgiveness. And we ask, Father, that you will help us and guide us in this and lead us into your presence on a daily basis. We want to serve you. We want to be a loyal subject in your kingdom. We want to renew our relationship with you right now at this moment. So we ask that you receive us, Father God. We ask for your divine appointment in our heart. We want to lift you up and glorify you in everything that we do. We're not perfect. There's so much right, but there's also so much wrong. But with you, oh Lord, with you, everything is right. So receive us, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would just have your way with our lives. Help us seek you daily, that we can meditate in your word and in your presence, Father God, that our conduct will be conduct becoming of your glory, that we can glorify you in everything that we do. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything. You are a mighty God, a loving God, and I will seek you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I ask that you stand on your feet and join us as we close with this hymn.